Welcome to Spirit Speaks Podcast. Welcome back. Hi. My name is Elizabeth. This is Spirit Speaks. This is a podcast all about spirituality, spiritual concepts, all of that stuff. And talking about how it doesn't matter where we're going, doesn't matter where we've been, what we believe in, whatever. Spirit is always speaking. The spirit of the universe, spirit of God, the spirit of our ancestors, and the spirit of your higher self. So let's get into it. So, you guys voted, and I'm here to deliver, and this is a crazy topic, this is a very interesting topic, this is a very talked about topic in the spiritual community, in a lot of communities, and today's episode is going to be about soul ties. Oh my goodness. If you have any kind of social media, you've probably seen some of it, some stuff about it. If you go to church, you probably heard about it. If you are part of any religious organization, you've probably heard something along the lines of a soul tie. So, let's go over some research that I did, and I tried to dig, and most of the research that I found about soul ties was, of course, having to do with the Abrahamic religion's view on soul ties, specifically Christianity. So on greatbiblestudy.com, I found a couple things about soul ties. So let's just talk about what is known in the public, and then we'll get into my personal opinion about soul ties, as well as how to break them. So we have here that soul ties is still feeling connected to someone who you've had sex with. This can happen from sexual relations or close relationships. And this is when basically you tie or you do this act that ties the two souls together in the spiritual realm. And on this amazing website, it speaks about how when a soul tie or a soul tie can be positive or it can be negative. Specifically, of course, it's speaking about married couples, saying that if you have a soul tie when you're in union, when you're in godly divine union, that the soul tie can draw the two people together like magnets, while soul ties between fornicators can draw a beaten and abused woman to the man, which in the natural realm she would hate and run from, but instead she runs to him even though he doesn't love her and treats her like dirt. What a very, very interesting take on this subject. Whew. So, I just wanted to start off with that just as a little intro, because a lot of stuff that we see about soul ties is very misogynistic. As you can see, they're not really referring to women here. And on the website and on a lot of other websites, they're not really referring to men. They're only referring to women. I'm sorry. And on this website and a lot of other websites, we see that they focus on the woman. They focus on that. I mean, even, you know, if you read books like The Sacred Woman by Queen Afia, which I love that book, she talks about the trauma that we hold in our wombs and things like that. So just this idea of holding on to something and tying to something because you have let something enter you as a woman or as a person with a vagina, right? So, in general, we see this kind of misogynistic view. We see this very like slut-shaming view. We see, you know, this putting marriage on a pedestal. And when you have a soul tie in marriage, this is the only good way to have a soul tie, pretty much. And if you have sex with anyone outside of your divine union, then it is always a bad idea. Very, very, very interesting. So let's get into my personal belief about soul ties and transition from there. So what I believe about soul ties, my personal opinion from what I've studied, from what I've experienced, for whatever my opinion is worth, I believe that a soul tie can be real. I believe that it's a both yes and no thing. I believe that the way that Abrahamic religions have described and looked at soul ties, I don't believe that that's completely 100% what it is. I believe of really looking at the energetic exchange over the soul tie. I also believe that to form a fully bound soul tie, you need a combination of both emotional and sexual energy and connection and vulnerability with those two intertwining together, and you can form this meshing or this soul touching, I guess, or this bridge between two people to pass energy through to this connection that it's hard to shake. We are going to talk about how to break it though later in this episode. So, I believe that a soul tie really has to do with three main factors. It has to do with one, how the person views you, two, how the person feels in the moment, and three, how the person thinks you view them. And I believe that this is extremely important because this last part of how the person thinks you view them, because it directly affects how they present themselves and the energy that goes behind the actions that ultimately affect you. And I believe that it's this combination of this emotional and sexual energy, the sexual act, that together create a soul tie. I honestly believe that you can have a sexual liberation. You can have this release of this idea of, arresting or like oppression of the womb space and not have a soul tie. Like, what I'm trying to say is, you can have a whole asshole phase and not have one single soul tie. For example, I'm gonna give you a very explicit example because whatever, fuck it. So, for example, a partner of mine from a couple years back, great person, was amazing. Amazing. And there was no soul tie formed with this sexual relationship. But what made this partner amazing was those three things: how he viewed me, how he felt every time that we had that we spent time together, and how the person thinks that I view them. Along with, of course, other things like how he is as a person, how he deals with his emotional issues, the headspace that he was in, the energy that he was feeding me, and all this combined together made for a great sexual experience. But there was actually no emotional connection. There was a friendship, and there still is a friendship, but there was no soul tie formed. Going on to those three factors. How he viewed me. This man thought that I was like literally, or thinks, or I don't know, that I was the best thing. Like, I was so beautiful, and he was honored to even be talking to me, and I hit on his ass. And he was so surprised. And, it was a great sexual experience because he viewed me as a fucking goddess. So he treated me like a goddess and he was very attentive and all these things. And we had a great friendship, still have a great friendship and a great connection on that level. But it wasn't this intense emotional connection that could create a soul tie in conjunction with really good sex. We were good in the friendship aspect, but I think everyone knows that there is a very big difference between someone who, treats you right and is a great friend and this, that, and the third, and maybe even treats you right in bed, but you don't have that emotional connection with them. That emotional connection, along with that sexual connection, those two things combined can make you disregard those three factors. Disregard how they view you. Disregard what they think of you. Because it's something about you both, your souls intertwining, or your souls like touching in this crazy connection that blinds you a lot of times and clouds your judgment. And this feeling is like a high. And this is now I'm starting to describe a soul tie, right? It's this feeling of this high, it's this feeling that you can't get enough, it's this feeling that it doesn't even matter what they do because you will always make an excuse for them because you are in that entranced by this person. And that's when it gets very dangerous. That is when it gets very, very dangerous. And for me, I knew when I had a soul tie, and I really believe that I've only had one in my life, that I knew that it was a soul tie when he started showing up in every single dream that I had. It doesn't matter if I was on the beach doing God knows what. The dream don't got nothing to fucking do with him. He would show up in every freaking dream looking for me. And in real life, in reality, I blocked him on everything and everything, all the things, okay? And still in the dream world, I was being contacted, and it was months had passed, and it was still a really big issue that he was constantly in my mind, constantly, constantly, every second of the day. Doesn't matter how much I remind myself that he was this, that, and the third, it was just stuck. And I think a lot of us can understand and can look at soul ties from that perspective because I'm pretty sure most of us have gone through that where it's you just can't shake them. You just can't shake them. And this is when a soul tie can be bad because if you're considering the three factors of how they view you, how they view themselves, how they are energetically, when you are having that sexual connection, when you are connecting with them in that way, you're receiving all of that energy. So I really do believe that the problem here isn't necessarily the soul tie. The problem here is the energy that you're exchanging between each other, especially during sex. And this is why you find a lot of people who are spiritual or who are religious or whatever the case may be, being celibate or abstaining or being very picky, because a lot of us are empaths, and I'm not mean a lot of us in the spiritual community. I mean a lot of people in general. I don't believe that there is this crazy separation between people who aren't empaths and who are empaths. I don't think that it's a superpower. I think most people are empathic. If you have emotional intelligence, then you are probably a freaking empath. But anyways, especially if you're an empath or in general, when you have sex with someone, and you can be a man or a woman, but that intimacy and that energetic connection really can facilitate an exchange of energy. You pick up on what that person has been dealing with. You pick up on their emotions. You pick up on their subconscious. You pick up on all those things. And I know some of you might be sitting there shaking your head, like, what's this bitch talking about? But truly and really, if you notice how you are acting, if you notice how you are feeling after you have sex with someone, if you notice the things that you are doing after you do this, you can see the patterns and you can see the correlation with that person oftentimes. And this is what you really have to be, what you have to watch out for. Because you can receive that lower energy if someone is dealing with depression, if someone is dealing with a lot of stress or things like that, you can receive a lot of that energy. You can receive their troubles in that way, at least how they're feeling in that lower frequency. You can receive all those things. That's why it's so important to be with someone or have that energetic exchange with someone who is in a good mind space, not just in the moment, but also when it comes to how this person views you and how this person values you, because that's going to be directly felt by you. I'm sure a lot of people can understand, and I'm going to speak from a woman perspective because I am a woman. But if you have sex with someone who has convinced you, yes, I'm going to please you, yes, I'm going to do all these things, yada, yada, yada. And then it actually gets down to it, and you leave the sexual encounter feeling empty or feeling disappointed or feeling all of these things. Sure, maybe he just didn't get it right, but maybe a lot of times what he was saying to you was all talk to get what he wanted. And you're feeling that emptiness and you're feeling that sadness because that thought and that line of thinking that he was keeping away from you was actually transferred to you, and you are internalizing it and you are feeling it. And that's when sacred energy exchange can be detrimental to your mental health, because you're accumulating this lower frequency and you're accumulating these ideas about yourself that someone else may have that actually may influence you subconsciously and make you think that that is actually you, that that is actually your value, that that is actually what you deserve. And it's not. It's not. And that's why I can believe in a sexual liberation. That's why I can believe in, you know, doing whatever you want sexually, but firmly also believe in doing it with partners who value you and who respect you and who want to please you. Because I think a lot of people, a lot of times, may get into these sexual relationships thinking that this is going to make things better, or, you know, have this, you know, you're striving for this attraction, you're striving for this connection, but you end up feeling empty because you have to have the emotional and you have to have that energy before you go into it to then solidify it.
So to wrap it up, are soul ties real? Yes. Is it always a bad thing, this terrible thing? No. Because if you are having, you know, if you have a soul tie with someone who respects you, who values you, who genuinely loves you, who wants to uplift you, then, like, what is this website? TheGreatBibleStudy.com says that it can be like a magnet that really intertwines your souls and melts them together, and you have a beautiful divine union. But it can be a bad thing. But the basis of it being a bad thing, is if you do not have a high vibrational frequency when it comes to the energy that you're consistently sharing with each other. And this is a very easy concept to grasp, because how do you feel when you're around someone who is constantly complaining, who is depressed, who is sad? How do you feel when you leave that situation? You probably feel sad. You probably feel a little bit down. You probably don't feel that optimistic. That's a simple energetic transfer that even if you don't have sex with that person, you can accumulate just by being around them. Now, if you just have a conversation with them and you feel this way, how do you think it's going to work if you have a sexual experience with that person and they feel this way? It's just that easy. And I think a lot of people write this off, because I think this can manifest very mainly actually in the subconscious rather than in the, you know, obvious ways. But if you really look at how you feel after you do these things or after you have these encounters with people, then you can really see patterns and really understand how crazy energy is. So the moral of the story is to make sure that it doesn't matter if it's a friend, it doesn't matter if it's a lover, it doesn't matter if it's a family member, a partner, that you're always having or you're always striving to have positive energetic exchanges. I'm not saying that every conversation has to be rainbows and butterflies, but I'm saying making sure that you're engaging with people who respect you on all capacities and any ways, interacting with people who, you know, want to uplift you in some way, who want to, you know, give you something energetically, whether that be good conversation or whether that is actual upliftment. You know, you really want to make sure that your energetic exchanges are good so that you can keep a higher frequency. For a lot of different reasons, for your quality of life, for manifestation, for a whole bunch of, you know, reasons that will be beneficial for your mental health. Now that we've talked about all that, I really want to get into breaking the soul tie and how I was able to break the soul tie with this man who was always in my freaking dreams. That I knew I had to snip. Oh no, this was not gonna work. Okay, so I'm going to go over a candle magic ritual, and I'm also going to go over a journaling session, and you can do both. You can do one, you could do the other, you can do this as many times as you want. It's very, very simple, and it really involves putting your intention behind it. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get two candles for those who practice energy work. is what I like to call it. If you want to get fancy with it, you know what I'm saying? You can get a man and a woman candle, or a woman candle, or a man and a man candle, or a person and person candle, whatever you identify with, and use those. When I did it, I did two white taper candles. You engrave your name in one of the candles, and you engrave the other person's name in the other candle. And what I did was I dressed my candle with protection herbs, with uplifting herbs and things like that, and I didn't do shit to his candle, okay? And then I took a red string, I tied the two candles together, and I sat with my plate with my candles. I meditated. I asked my ancestors to come in and assist me with this soul tie breaking. And I wrote a whole letter to him on, everything that I learned from the situation, how he made me feel. And then I also talked about why this is not going to be a soul tie anymore, okay? Why this needs to just stop, why I'm not doing this anymore, why this isn't serving my highest purpose anymore. And then, you write the letter. And what you can do is you can put the letter under the plate with the two candles if you need to. And then what I usually do is I'll burn the letter after the candles have melted. But you're going to want to light the candles. You say your prayer. You could even meditate at this time while they're burning down and truly envision that cord being snip, snip, cut between you two. And before the flame has gotten to the actual red string that you tied the two candles together with, you're going to want to take some scissors and cut. And cut. And what I want you to do from here is really, watch the flames, watch the candles, and see how the flames are moving. When I did this, his flame was huge, high, and sparky, and it showed a lot of resistance. And mine was steady and calm. And it's very good representation for actually what happened. And you watch it. You watch how it burns, you take notes and things like that. And you burn the letter. You can burn the letter on the candle. Like, use the flame at the very end when it's almost out to burn the letter with the candle on the plate. Or you can burn it outside and let it go in the wind. Whatever you prefer, just get rid of it. Get rid of that energy, because I truly believe that energy is never created or destroyed. So when you're wanting to release, you just need to take it, remove it, and release it. So you're going to want to do that. And then I do recommend that you take a spiritual bath after this. Three main ingredients from a spiritual bath, at least what I was taught, are Florida water, Epsom salt, and sea salt in a bath. And when I started becoming more spiritual, I was actually in an apartment where there was no bath, so I did showers. So what I did was I took three bowls and I put water in each one of them, and then put the three ingredients in each one of them and said a prayer every time and dumped it over my head. I personally like to get a little fancy with it. I use a little rosemary. I make my own rosemary oil for my oils on my website, yourspiritualmermaid.com. And I put my rosemary oil in there. I also put my protection spray in there. I put a couple things in there. And you envision the energy washing away from you. And I really do think it's important for you to do this after the soul tie cutting, I mean, so that you can really get rid of this energy that was represented by the candles. So you're going to want to do that. That is an example of candle work. Or what you can do is do the letter. So like I said, the letter has to do with what you learned, how you feel about everything, and why this is no more, why the soul tie is broken. Be very firm in the last section of the letter. Use your sovereignty to really say this. And also, one thing I forgot, you can read the letter to the candles as they're burning it before you burn it, to really assert your dominance over the situation, okay? And you can write this letter, you can write it as many times as you need to, as many times, just to get all the energy out, and burn it if you want. I always recommend to burn it. I love to burn shit. Really release and push that energy out, or you can, rip it up, throw it in the trash can, things like that. You're gonna want to get rid of it. You're not gonna want to keep it. So yeah.
So actually, after I finished this ritual, no more dreams. He was in my dreams for weeks before this, and then I did it, and then the dream stopped. And truly and really pouring your energy into this and truly believing that this will happen is really the key to all energy work, but specifically with this. This is the key to really making sure that you cut it. And that is it.
In closing, I want us all to be a lot more cognizant of the energy that we're giving and receiving. And this is regardless of sexual energy. This is pertaining to friendships, familial relationships, work relationships, anything. But really being aware and introspective on how you feel after you have exchanges, conversations, after you sit in the same space with someone. How does that make you feel? And really trying to surround yourself with people who respect you, who want to uplift you, who want to pour into you. And really being cognizant of the fact that sexual energy is fucking potent. It is so potent. You can use it as in, one of the previous episodes we talked about sex magic. You can use the sexual energy to push things into fruition, to manifest things. And just like how you can manifest good things, you can manifest bad things. And if you're having a sexual energetic exchange with someone who thinks lowly of you or doesn't respect you, you can manifest that line of thought, that line of thinking into your own subconscious. And because that's being exchanged to you, and thus manifest things that are not of your preference. So this is all about being conscious. This is all about being aware, and this is all about knowing that you are in control of all of it, of everything. And if you feel like you have made a soul tie with someone who doesn't want the best for you, who isn't that good for you, you can cut it with introspection, with journaling, with candle work, with, a lot of different ways to really sever that tie. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. It was great. It was fun. I mean, to make it. If you have any questions, of course, feel free to DM me on Twitter or Instagram. My Twitter is AquaSpirit with three eyes, and yeah, and Your Spiritual Mermaid, of course, on Instagram, and my website is Your Spiritual Mermaid. I love you all and can't wait to speak to you soon. But wait, okay, before we go, I wanted to say if this podcast has given you anything, if you have gained anything from this podcast, if you enjoyed this podcast, donations are always appreciated. So appreciated. Donations can help me upgrade my software, upgrade my microphone, upgrade my life. Okay, my Cash App and Venmo are both Your Spiritual Mermaid, and my website, if you would love or like to book a session with me, is as well Your Spiritual Mermaid. I love working with clients. I love what I do. It truly makes me so happy. So, any of those three things. And of course, you can share the podcast. Please share and say, what you think or encourage other people to listen. That really does help as well. And I will see or see. I don't know. I'll speak to y'all soon, though. Bye.